mama's womping, our daddy's cooling that thing between our thighs. That's the start of all this trouble in our sordid lives. Ain't it a bitch?
Bitch!
Sorting out our sordid lives. It's a bitch!
Bitch!
When you come to realize it's a rough bitch. When you see it's a bitch!
Bitch!
Sorting out.
Hey, I'm Del Shores, and we're back. We're gonna do it again, one more time. That's it, that's all you get. You keep asking, is there gonna be another Sordid Lives?
Well, I guess we're gonna do this one more time.
I'm back, and Latrell is back.
Yay, I'm back! Aren't you so excited? Quit zigzagging, I can't shoot you if you are zigzagging.
I'm back, LaVonda is back.
I'm back, Wardell Owens is back.
Juanita's back.
I'm back. Kitty Whiskers.
Prepare yourself for a snowstorm of global proportion.
It's time for Nicholas Snow Live, the podcast that's all about connecting the circuitry of humanity. Connect with us at NicholasSnowLive.com. It's not radio. It's Gadio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Nicholas Snow Live for Monday, July 14th, 2015. Just this morning, I received an email from the producing team of Del Shores, Emerson Collins, and Louise H. Beard, and here's part of it. Hello, Sordid friends, fans, and supporters. We are working incredibly hard to make our plan of shooting the Sordid Live sequel in October in Dallas. We have an incredible group of investors already on board with over three-quarters of the budget we need to greenlight the film. Dell is excitingly updating the script to include the Supreme Court equality victory and the pushback that is happening against it as well. We are thrilled to bring the film to Texas as it explores impact and fallout of marriage equality and religious freedom with our beloved Sordid characters. Yes, the sequel to Sordid Lives, entitled A Very Sordid Wedding, is about to start filming, and you can still be involved. More information after this.
Spotlight on Palm Springs.
Come to Lulu, the award-winning California bistro. Fabulous breakfast, a luscious three-course Sunday brunch, scrumptious dinners serving fresh fish, perfect steaks, pizzas, salads, and more. Something for everyone. A three-course special to savor from $15.99. The best all-day and night happy hour. There's always a party at Lulu in the heart of downtown Palm Springs on South Palm Canyon and Arenas.
New designer furnishings, sparkling cocktail rings, vintage jeans and shirts for moms, teens, boys, and flirts. Area rugs and stylish bedding design your wedding. Shiny knickknacks and glam Hollywood throwbacks. You'll find it here at Revivals, voted best of the Valley thrift stores. Now with even more new treasures, plus one-of-a-kind consignment and estate items. Fashion, accessories, furniture, it's all in store at Revivals. Find it here. Visit us at RevivalStores.com to find a Revivals store near you.
Hi, I'm Nicholas Snow. Many of you know that I am HIV positive. I'm living powerfully with HIV because I benefit from the services of the Desert AIDS Project in Palm Springs, California. And I'm very happy to bring you this news from another grateful client of Desert AIDS Project.
I'm more proactive with my health now, I think, than I was before. And I think that's because there's other people that are being proactive with me. You know, there's people that are interested and concerned about it.
A lot of services that are very difficult to access to HIV-infected patients are gathered within one roof. We do have access to substance abuse counselor, mental health services, psychiatrists. We have dental service programs. We have nutritional programs, housing, case management. Very unique in the nation that all the programs, including medical services, are administered within one facility.
Coming here, I felt just an amazing amount of love from Desert AIDS Project. They are people who just care in the community, people who want to put a hand out and say, let me hold yours. And I think that makes all the difference in the world.
For more information, visit DesertAidsProject.org.
Betsy, have you ever had an affair with anybody with missing limbs or anything?
Not that I can remember, Juanita.
I once had an affair with a man with only one testicle.
Now who's to judge? Who's a saint and who's a sinner? Lord, it's tough enough to trudge from brunch to dinner. We seek the light of truth between our white lies. We sleep away our youth under tattletale skies. Now who's to say who's a sinner and who's a saint? Who's to say who you can love and who you can't? Black. They're just jealous of a hot and lusty sort of lives they lack. Ain't it a bitch sorting out our sordid lives? It's a bitch when you come to realize. Crack yourself a box of Cracker Jacks, even at a really shitty price. It's a bitch sorting out.
Thank you, Juanita.
Now when the law dips us in the gene pool, we get more than granny's green eyes. Little mama's warmth and our daddy's cool, and that thing between our thighs, that's the start of all this trouble in our sordid lives. Ain't it a bitch?
Bitch!
Sorting out our sordid lives. It's a bitch,
bitch,
when you come to realize. It's all about scratching, and you should cry. It's a bitch,
bitch,
sorry that I'm sorry little, sorry little.
And now, on with the snow, show. Celebrating his fourth decade as a multimedia entertainment activist, producer and host Nicholas Snow is all about honoring and expressing his life force in a way that makes a difference, while inspiring you to do the same. Reaching millions of people worldwide, Nicholas is definitely a leading primo promo homo on the go-go. Yes, over 6 feet of snow has just drifted into your podcast experience. And here he is, Nicholas Snow.
On May 30th, 2015, Dell and Emerson and Ann Walker and several other of the cast members were in Palm Springs, California at the Camelot Theaters, and investors were invited, potential investors, and I had the opportunity to do a sit-down interview with Dell and Ann, and I also recorded some of the remarks made before the screening by Rick Supple, who's one of the owners of the Camelot Theaters, where Sordid Lives screened for 2 years and grossed over $800,000 in that theater alone. And so in this episode, I bring you a very special, timely update. As I remind you, it is July 13th. If you happen to hear this episode before Friday and Saturday, July 17th and 18th, on Friday, July 17th, there's an event in Fort Worth, and Saturday the 18th, there's an event in Dallas. This is targeting investors that have $25,000 or more to put into the film. You can RSVP for more information about those events by emailing delshores@me.com. And I'll be back with Del Shores, Emerson Collins, Ann Walker, and more after this.
Hey, I'm Del Shores, and we're back. We're going to do it again, one more time. That's it. That's all you get. You keep asking, is there going to be another Sordid Lives?
Well, I guess we're going to do this one more time.
I'm back, and Latrell is back.
Yay, I'm back! Aren't you so excited? Quit zigzagging. I can't shoot you if you are zigzagging.
I'm back. LaVonda is back.
I'm back. Wardell Owens is back.
Juanita's back.
I'm back. Kitty Whiskers.
And now we flash back to the Camelot Theaters, May 30th, 2015, and the first voice you hear is Michael Green, who is very well known in the Palm Springs area, and he is the executive director of the Palm Springs Cultural Center and does lots of the PR and marketing for the Camelot, and he made opening remarks.
This Supple's legacy in Palm Springs is very visible throughout our community and will continue to be. The Supple's decided to get involved in this new and very exciting, and I might add historic itself, project that you're going to hear a lot more about today. When they first heard about it, Rosine in particular, and those of you who know her know how enthusiastic she can get. She became extraordinarily enthusiastic, and she's very excited about it. She was sorry she got a kind of a bad cold and was not able to be with us today, but joining us, Rick Supple is here along with his daughter Judy. And Rick, you want to say a few words to everybody?
Hello, welcome. I have a little disability, which requires that I be on my little bony ass here rather than stand. But my daughter here from Paris, Judy, is in the motion picture business in Paris and has been an aspiring actress as well as movie producer. It was just fortunate that she could join us today and perhaps take some of our wisdom back to Europe and might find some Saudi that might be interested in that.
We'll take them.
Anyway, if any of you better on movie business, we know we love movies and all that. Getting them made is really an art form. And as you know, you just wonder how many movies can be made the way they are with the money that's required to keep them going. And there are all kinds of tricks. But the main thing is, if you got a good storyline, you got some history of success, and it's kind of a repetition of the characters of that success, which is this new movie. It kind of intrigues me because for 96 weeks, almost 2 years, we ran Sordid Lives. You're going to see it this afternoon. A classic cult film, unusual for our market right here, that people love so much they see it 6, 7, 10 times and always bring guests to this Sordid Lives group. And then we had those cast parties at the theater, and they were always sellouts just for the people that loved the show so much they wanted to get near the characters, and the characters have always been very careful to be here and endorse what they're doing. And I've seen that dialogue between characters, cast, and our people here in Palm Springs brought about that 96-week run, which grossed over $800,000 in ticket sales and DVD sales. That is a major, that was in 2000, what was it, four?
And that's one small independent theater.
That's one, and one, you know, we had an exclusively show. With that background, it's only fair that we do it again. And Rosine and I are enthusiastic behind it. We feel it's got opportunities, like once again, to cover that market that loved the first one so much. So hopefully we can get the financing that is needed to put this underway by August. Rosine and I have committed a substantial amount for our part of it, and the Camelot theaters are very close behind the whole project. So we welcome anyone that has got questions. I know they have material for you. I know Del's got material for you if you need it. And I want to welcome the cast that's come down here once again, helping get this movie off the ground and then supporting it once you get on the screen. So welcome everybody. Enjoy yourself and thanks. Back to you.
I got it. I really don't have anything else to say other than, again, thank you all for coming. We hope you'll join us in supporting this film. I'd like to get Del and Emerson to come down and tell you a little bit more about why you're here today.
Thanks, Michael. We appreciate Michael so much. He's been so good to us with Cinema Diverse and liaison between us and the Camelot, and Rick and Rosine. Thank you so much for... you know, you made a huge difference in our morale, because I was in Texas performing recently, and I had always tell people, oh, I just hate this part of my career. I hate having to raise the money for my films. And I had a meeting with this producer, who's now one of our producers, John Pafford, and he was so passionate about the work that it infused my passion, and I thought, you know what, I need to embrace this part of who I am. And because I am so happy, first of all, thank you, Palm Springs, for making this what it was, because this film, it just keeps giving to us. And I can't tell you how many letters I get that would have, they wouldn't have known about this film if it hadn't been for Palm Springs, but I get so many letters about, this week I had a guy write me, and he said, I want you to know that I did not kill myself because I watched Sordid Lives one night. He said, I just thought, you know what, I'm just going to watch Sordid Lives before I do it. And, you know, because it could go either way, you know. But he wrote me this, and this was, you know, 6 or 7 years ago that this happened. But so many young females and gay men write me and say, I came out to my family by showing them Sordid Lives. So it changed lives, it made a difference. And you only hope that that's what happens to your work. So I thought, oh, I've got to embrace doing this, or else I'm not going to get to do this other film. And I'm so happy to return to the Sordid franchise. I haven't been there for a while, but to write again for these, and to bring, we brought the characters up to date. This movie is going to be set after today, because we're waiting for the Supreme Court decision to come in. And the theme of this movie is what happens when equality travels into Runnels County. What happens to these characters? What are their reaction? What happens when Ty brings his new husband home? And there is an anti-equality revival going on at Southside Baptist Church, because they don't want to accept what is happening nationwide. So much hatred is being spewed right now in the name of the Lord as a result of what is happening to our march towards equality, and that's addressed in this movie. Some of the fun things about the movie, I mean, it's still got the humor, y'all. It's got Leslie Jordan coming back. It's got Miss Ann Walker. Ann Walker's here. You know, she's hard to spot. Playing LaVonda again, everybody's favorite aunt. Rosemary Alexander is sitting there. Dr. Eve will be back. And we've got Wardell. Here's one. Wardell right here will be back. And later on, we'll have Bonnie Bedelia will join us as well, who is one of y'all's residents now. She lives here in Palm Springs, as well as David Steen. The two residents are late. No, we're at the end, by the way, at the end, the cast will have a quick, you know, if you want to ask any questions of them, but we'll go upstairs and we'll start cocktailing upstairs with the cast. The cast is all going to meet and greet and hang out with you. But what I wanted to say is some of the exciting new cast members. We've got Whoopi Goldberg, who asked to be in this movie. So she's going to do a cameo for us. From the series, it'll be Caroline Ray and David Steen playing Nolita. and GW, and Carol Cook. Miss Carol Cook is going to be in this, playing Nolita's mean mother, Hortense. So Nolita just continues to be tormented by life. And we've got Juanita is back. So, you know, Miss Sarah Hundley is back. And it's wonderful to return. Kurt Geiger, who created the role of Ty, will be back. He's also, he lives in India, yeah. So anyway, we have brochures upstairs or investor packets, and if you're interested, we would love you to come on board. Here's where we are right now. This week we've gotten 3 more investors, which brings us up to $675,000. We need $1 million to greenlight this picture, so we're only $375,000 away at this very moment from greenlighting it. We need a little bit more to finish it. So we are looking and actively looking for anybody to partner with us. You will own a piece of the film, and you'll be part of our LLC and our production company, and you'll go on this journey with us, and we welcome you on the set. We welcome you to come to Texas and watch Brother Boy perform at the Rose Room. You know, he's out of the institution, y'all. But things are not going well for him. And so Emerson Collins is going to be in the movie, who you saw in Southern Baptist Sisters. He's got every scene he's in, he's with Mr. Leslie Jordan. It'll be quite the duo. So Emerson, you want to say a couple of things? And Emerson's also the most amazing producing partner that I have ever had. He is just, it's always nice to have smarter people than you on your team. And Emerson truly is that smart person who works, I call him my left brain. So he is an amazing producer. He's also going to be an amazing actor, and I'm grateful that he is part of this team. So Emerson Collins, y'all. I'll be quick, because this is the way we work together. Before, he said, tell him what the movie's about, but then he went ahead and told you what the movie's about. This is the nature of our partnership. But so what I will say about it, you know, what I find interesting, because I came to Sword and Lodge late, I didn't meet them at all until 2006. It was after the, initial Sword and Lodge adventure, and what I have found watching it from the outside is that what the original movie did so well is that it sort of subversively gave the opportunity to so many LGBT people who were from the South to point to their crazy family members and say, this is the experience that I had growing up with all of you. And this is why it was scary for me to come out. And it did it through the trademark humor and laughter of his words and the performances of these actors. And so here we are 15 years later looking at the exact same town of people. And what happens now as we move to marriage equality arrives in those same towns where people were coming out 15 years ago. What does it look like when you bring home a fiancé to that same community and continuing the amazing advocacy, really, that existed in the movie, this amazing social message that was sort of hidden behind the hysterical laughter. And that's why I'm personally passionate about it. I'm not related to as many crazy people as y'all are. My family members were all sort of sensible to me. No. And we're really excited. And the reason that we're here, the reason we keep coming back to Palm Springs is because Rick and Rosine and what the Camelot did for the original Sordid Lives and why they have come so bravely on board to be a part of making this happen. And we will have the world premiere of the film here at the Camelot as a result of their association with it, to say thank you to Palm Springs for 15 years of support of this, and that's why we keep returning. And so nowhere in the world we want to be able to make it a huge weekend, a destination weekend of people to come and attend the first 2 weeks of the film. Nowhere in the country will it be available anywhere but here, and that's our appreciation to the community here for the incredible support of people like Michael and the fans who have come. And so Dell is really honest, and we really are. We have 2/3 of the budget we need to greenlight the movie. That's our really real answer. And so we are here looking for people that are passionate about the message of marriage equality, and also people that have money that they're not going to miss. Film investment is really exciting, and there are great rewards that come with it, but it's a longer-term investment, obviously. And we are always upfront about that. We believe that there's huge opportunity for success with this film, or we wouldn't be doing it, but we also think that open communication is an important part of any business, artistic, and personal relationship. So we are super excited. We have a bunch of packets that have the information that sort of breaks down how all of that works and all of the different investment levels and information on the film and the cast, and we're here to answer any questions and also just enjoy a screening of the movie. That's the reason we're all here. And we'll be back at the end with Bonnie and David and the rest of the cast for a second. And Emerson and I will be upstairs if you want, you know, y'all know it by heart. So if anybody really wants to talk some business or if you want the investment packet at the end and see the movie, whenever, we will be upstairs during the movie. So you can join us up there if you would like to, or you can wait till the end or whatever. But hang out with us, okay? Thank you so much. Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Judy, for being here. And Michael, thank you so much. And all of you. Appreciate it.
All right, let's watch a movie.
I'm here with playwright Del Shores, his co-producing partner Emerson Collins, and Ann Walker, who played LaVonda Dupree. Welcome back to Palm Springs.
Thank you.
So let's start with you, Del. I was so excited in the remarks that you said before the screening that this movie will start after the Supreme Court's decision. I think that's brilliant, but when did you come up with that decision?
Well, I wrote the script to acknowledge our march towards equality, and when I started writing the script, we had 17 states, and we now have 37. And so Emerson and I were having a meeting recently, and I said, you know what? I'm really feeling that we need to, because my fantasy always was that it would be released, and then at the end it would say, on June so-and-so, 2015, all 50 states, you know, that kind of thing. And then I realized, as it's been delayed a little bit, that I can rewrite the script to accommodate that. And it was really exciting, and we went through it the other day and felt out that, you know, because a lot of the story's not about that. It felt right. And so we're putting some placeholders in certain places in the script, and then there'll be a real thorough rewrite to acknowledge that. And I love bringing these characters into 2015, where we are today, how they're reacting to what's going on and what is a rich time in not just gay history. This is history.
Is Olivia Newton-John in the sequel?
She is not. She was offered the role and was unable with she. You know, she's now
in residence in Vegas.
She's playing the flamingo so much that just time commitment was not a possibility. And with her wellness center in Australia, she just felt like she couldn't commit to it. So instead of replacing her, I just wrote the character out.
I think that was a good decision.
Because they'll acknowledge her. She'll be talked about. But and she does have a little bit, because there's a little twist. She's not going to be on screen, but there will be a Bitsy May presence in it. I don't want to give too many of the secrets.
That's okay. Don't. So Emerson, what excites you the most about the making of A Very Sordid Wedding?
Well, to me, and really what he just said about, I'm most excited, honestly, now that we're taking into account the marriage equality decision from the Supreme Court, because what I've always loved about the entire Sordid Lives world was showing how a sort of crazy, kooky family and community in the conservative South that so many LGBT people came from, how they react to LGBT issues. And by acknowledging the win, hopefully, from the Supreme Court of marriage equality, this anti-equality rally he talks about at the church now starts to reference all of these religious freedom bills that are coming as a response to the success of LGBT issues. And to me, that makes it feel very current, and it shows the progress since the initial Sordid Lives film, but still shows how much room we have to go in many of these conservative towns and communities, with equality being embraced by all people and all LGBT people being treated correctly by their families, churches, and communities, and still with the trademark humor that made people love the original film so much.
Very well said. You know, one of the things that I love, because we've all known each other for a long, long time, is that
We don't age.
We don't age.
We don't age, though. Right?
No, we don't. We're still...
Especially on the radio.
Exactly. is that we have a frame of reference not only about what has happened in our lives creatively, but what has happened in the world. Mm-hmm. And it's just really stunning what's happened in just recent years. I never would have anticipated that marriage equality would move as quickly as it has. What would you like to say, Anne?
I was just going to say the same thing. Nobody had the idea when we did the original. We were, I think it was in 2000 that we filmed the original Sordid Lives.
1999.
Oh, 99.
September of 99 we were filming.
So we didn't have, I mean, that. I think that's why this movie, the original, made such a big impact, because it was almost like bringing this information to the people who really needed to hear it. And like Del said earlier about, I get letters and emails from people all the time about what they did by using the movie to show their families, you know, to come out to them. And I think that even beyond that, so many people really enjoyed the seeing themselves. You know, many of them wouldn't admit to it, but we all have members of our families, whether you're living in Texas or Pennsylvania or Ohio or any place else. It's really a basic overall identification with each and every character.
I might be remembering this incorrectly, but I think the last time on you were on my show, you shared a story about you were at a dinner party and someone had this profound, they made a profound revelation to you about, did you tell a story about someone that had not committed suicide? Maybe I'm...
I think so. I think there was some kind of, well, Del just, he has gotten those kinds of
letters. I'll have to go back and listen to that episode, because there was something that happened.
About Southern Baptist Sissies.
Oh,
it
was
the boy in Dallas.
Oh, when we were talking about Southern Baptist Sissies. When we played that show in Dallas, there was this young man who came up to me, and I wish I could remember. We were in a bar, and it was down where the Roundup is, but it was across the street, and I don't remember the name of the bar. But there were lots of people
Village
there.
Village Station.
No, I don't think it was Village Station. Anyway.
Moby Dick's, it's not there no more.
That's so funny, because Swinging Richards is in Atlanta, and Leslie Jordan took great pride in taking me to Swinging Richards a couple of times. I've been there. Anyway, I digress. We always went out, Leslie and I went out and talked to the audience after. They would line up to tell us their stories. And this kid had seen Southern Baptist Sissies, and I was at the bar. He came over. He was the nicest, meekest guy. And he said, could I just talk to you for a minute? He said, after I saw Southern Baptist Sissies, he said, I had planned on, you know, killing myself because my family had kicked me out. They had didn't want to ever see me again. And when I saw that, it gave me some kind of hope that things were going to get better for me if I just didn't die. And he wasn't the only one that came over, told us their stories. They would line up at the theater. Between Leslie and me, we heard so many heartbreaking stories about that.
My favorite Sordid Lives story, though, is many years ago, this lesbian from Arkansas wrote me and said that she had played the movie for her mother, and she paused it after Ty and Latrell scene, and she said, Mom, I need to tell you something. Me too. That's me. And the mother said, well, yeah, honey, I know that. Could we just finish the movie? And so it was so nothing to the mother. You know, it was so. And then she said that a few years later, she wrote me again and said her mother had been diagnosed with terminal cancer. And the last days of her life, she told her that she wanted to watch Sordid Lives one time a day so that she would know that she would go out of here laughing.
Mm. Wow. So
that's my favorite, because it's sort of a two-parter.
That's pretty amazing. Yeah. So we're doing this interview on May 30th, 2015, in Palm Springs, upstairs at the Camelot Theaters, where we learned the film grossed $800,000. Over a two-year period. That's very cool. So for my listeners, wherever they may be, I have in front of me the investors packet. So Emerson, why don't you tell the listeners, I imagine because there's pre-production and post-production, that the opportunity to be a part of the project is not going to close soon. That's going to be an open-ended opportunity. So why don't you just talk about what sort of support people can give you and how they can become involved, and I'll let Dell add to it?
Absolutely. We're extremely excited. We've worked, you know, very hard to streamline a budget that's extremely honest with both the actual costs of making a film that the fans of the original will be happy and that the money is seen spent on the screen, but that also acknowledges that these actors are all returning to a project that we all love. That's Ann Walker's cell phone ringing, everybody, because she's popular.
She's in demand.
And so, realistically, we're still shooting it as a low-budget film to be authentic to the style of the original film and the series. And so we need $1 million to greenlight, and we are two-thirds of the way there, which is extremely exciting. And we're looking to shoot the film between August and October of this year to premiere it in Palm Springs next year during the season. So we are marching terribly along, and at $1 million we can greenlight the film. In order to be able to produce. So we have a number of conversations happening now, and if people are interested in information about how to be a part of the actual financial team that makes the film possible, they can email us at dellandemerson@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
And we can send them the investor information packet.
Okay, that sounds great. And do you have a particular website or Facebook page you want people to know about?
Well, I'd always start from Del Shores.
.com?
Well, no, go to Facebook. Just go to Facebook. I have that. They can go to delshores.com, and my Facebook page is there. But if you want to know anything about me, go to my Facebook page, my fan page, and go to events. There's a cool event that we started called I'm a Very Sorted Wedding Supporter. And people, I give updates on where we are, and, you know, I go, hey, we just got another investor. And, you know, it's not for everybody. We know that. We know that we always say if, you know, the minimum investment is 25 grand, and not everybody can do that. So instead of doing that, just share the page and share the information if you're a sorted fan or just wish us well and think positively, you know, because it's a collective energy that I think that is making this happen, and it is going to happen.
One of the things that I think is very impressive is that basically doing a crowdfunding approach and then this very strategic investor targeting, that you've raised as much money as you have and that you're as close as you are. I know there's still a significant amount you need to raise, but there's so many aspiring filmmakers and even well-established filmmakers like yourself that don't have this kind of love and support behind them.
We've been really blessed with the fan support and the people who love this franchise and my work. It's always a challenge. I mean, honestly, when people go, how do you do it? You know, with a lot of effort. It really, you have to get the word out there, and it's almost like you go fishing a little bit, and there are certain people who really want to be a part of this journey. Sometimes people just want to get a taste of what it's like to be in the film business, and they have the capital to do that. As Emerson said in the opening, film investing is not a huge return immediately. It's one of those things that, I mean, I'm scratching checks to the original Sorted Lives producers next week. You know, income trickles in for many, many years with a successful film. And Sorted Lives we've been very blessed with Sorted Lives that it just keeps, you know, selling those DVDs. We had a re-release last year. Wolf re-released the DVD after, I guess, 14 years. Mm-hmm. It had been with 20th Century Fox for 14 years, then Wolf picked up the re-release of it, and I got the cast to all talk about that journey that we took, because we didn't know. First of all, we didn't really know what we were doing when we made that movie. I mean, it was my first movie.
It was the first time you used high def.
It was, I think, the second movie in history to be shot on high def. I should qualify that. High def then bumped up to film, because there was Sony had a program, and we were part of that. It was a little bit of experimental. And so we didn't know. We thought, we didn't know if it would land. We had no idea. We knew the play worked. I knew that the characters worked. It was my first time to direct a feature. And, you know, I'm truly a director that directs actors, and I need the help of a director of photography. And so, you know, I've gotten better at that over the years. But I look back at Sorted Lives, and it still works.
Well, it was because the story was there. We never doubted that. And people were so moved. We ran the play for a year and a half, and in Los Angeles, and to be able to get an audience still coming to see it after a year and a half in L.A., everybody's so jaded.
Well, the movie ran here 2 years almost, 96 weeks.
But I mean, I don't you think, though, it was also because the, we called it the gays and the grays here. The gray
here. It's still the gays and the grays here.
Yeah.
And some of them cross over.
Yes.
They merge.
They merge. They merge.
Cast member Sharon Alexis, she just contacted me on Facebook, and she wanted me to say hello to everyone. And then I was talking to Mr. Alexander, and he wanted to know something about Sharon, and I said, "Well, I didn't know that, but I'm always just very happy to know that people are still alive when I haven't heard from them for a long time."
I just had coffee with Sharon and her husband Jack the other day.
Oh well, that answers the question. He wanted to know if Sharon and Jack were still together.
Yes, they are. They're married now.
Fantastic.
They just got married, I guess, about a year ago.
She says they travel back between L.A. and...
They're in L.A. right now.
New York.
Yeah.
Well, what would each of you like to add as sort of a final remark for this segment of the show?
I'm just the happiest person in the world that I have been allowed to play this character, LaVonda, and that he wrote this character, you know, sort of for me, and that I was able to bring who I am to it and embellish on that, and the audiences and the fans have been so, you know, nice to me over these years, and they want to keep in touch, and that's why it's such an honor. I think that's the only word I can use, is that it's an honor to be able to do this one more time. And Mr. Shores has said this is the last time. But we've thought it was the last time every time. So, who knows?
And Emerson?
For me, it's just amazing to be a part of something that is so beloved by so many people. And I think as an artist, the most exciting thing you ever get to do is to make something that is both entertainment and also educational. And I think the ability to address important social issues through comedy is one of the greatest gifts of the Sorted Lives family.
And what's that email again?
DellandEmerson@gmail.com.
Okay, and Dell?
Well, gratitude, as Anne pointed out, for the fans and the friends that we have met because of this franchise, Sorted Lives. I always say, I've written a lot of stuff, and a lot of people don't know that. They just think, oh, he's the Sorted Lives guy. But I'll take that. I'm proud of this journey. I'm proud of these characters and the life of this film. And I just, you know, I'm glad to be employed by, you know, I once did a radio show, a Tony Sweet show many years ago, and Monique was on the show with me, and it was right after she had been nominated for an Academy Award, and she said something that has stuck with me all these since then, and she said, "My fans are my employers, and that's the reason I get to do what I get to do, is because people love my work, and I'm just grateful because, you know, a lot of people write and a lot of people act, and they don't get to have what we've had. We're blessed. We're lucky. We are. There's some fate that's involved here.
Mm-hmm. It's so true. People have been what's kept us going. It wasn't any of us. Had they not come out and had they not supported this whole journey, we wouldn't be doing this movie. You know, we wouldn't be, you know, stuffing this down anybody's throat. So it's out of a love that they have for the material and for the story. And we're just real blessed to be able to bring it back.
Bette Midler is on tour right now. She was in the L.A. area last night, and a friend posted a video, and she's wrapping up her show by saying that, you know, she has the life that she has because of all of you. She's speaking to the fans as her employers, and she just talked about, you know, how lucky she is to have her husband and her daughter in her life, and then she's saying, "You're the wind beneath my wings." But you're right, you know. It's like the people that we can touch with our life and our work and our art, they're the ones that give us the motivation to keep going.
True.
Yeah. So, thanks for having us back.
Thanks for being here, and I'll catch the rest of the day as it unfolds.
For coming this afternoon, and after this, there's champagne. Oh, my.
I grew up in the theater.
We project, where we project. But we got champagne for everybody upstairs, so we had to have, you know, a draw for you to get up there. But we have cast members here today. David Steen is here, who's playing GW in the new movie and saw it in the series. And come on, David, let him see you. How well you dressed for this event.
Oh, thank you.
Michael McCray is a new cast member. Michael is going to play Wilson. We're going to finally see Wilson, and Michael is married to Bonnie in real life, and it's going to be perfect casting. They're not married anymore in the new movie. And we've got, of course, Miss Ann Walker, who made a costume change between the... Yeah. It's over 2 hours to get ready for this outfit. And then where's Rosemary and Newell? Rosemary Alexander, Dr. Eve, is right here. And we've got Newell Alexander, Wardell. And we were talking about this. Bonnie once told me a great story where someone introduced Mae West to her and said, Miss, I mean, Peggy Lee. And I like to introduce Bonnie as Miss Bonnie Bedelia. I base this character on my mother, who I lovingly describe as a loving, controlling bitch. So, but I love these actors. It truly is a family when we work together, and we're really excited to reunite. Do y'all have any quick questions for us, or do you just want to go up and mingle, or anything about the new film? Any questions at all for anybody? Do y'all want to say anything?
We're all excited.
Yeah,
we're really excited. We had so much fun on the first one. Probably as much fun as I've had on anything, and then of course the TV series as well. What a group, a great cast, and now for this one, I think an even greater cast. Added a lot of very cool people, so we're looking forward to it. Ann and I were just talking about how excited we are. So
we are.
That's all I have to say.
Anybody else have anything to say? No. All right. Y'all want to go hang out with us and
have some
drink
champagne.
A little bit? Let's go. Upstairs. Thank y'all so much. We'll see you there.
Hey folks, mark your calendars for early November because it's time for Greater Palm Springs Pride, Southern California's popular and longest-running LGBT festival in the Coachella Valley. Palm Canyon Drive is closed to traffic and transformed into a vibrant, pedestrian-friendly Pride Festival unique to Southern California. Palm Springs Pride is also one of the sponsoring organizations of the annual Harvey Milk Diversity Breakfast, which takes place every year in May. Visit pspride.org.
The LGBT Community Center of the Desert is a nonprofit organization dedicated to enriching the lives of the LGBT community in the Valley through health and wellness, social and educational programs. The center advances its mission through a clinical counseling and internship program, senior programming, youth anti-bullying and suicide prevention support programs, a growing volunteer program, and signature special events in the community for its members and allies. For more information on the LGBT Community Center, visit them on the web at thecenterps.org.
In Greater Palm Springs since 1979, the Desert Business Association has promoted and supported LGBT and allied businesses and professionals who join together for business promotion, economic development, educational, and humanitarian purposes. Their vision is to connect, promote, and build prosperity by embracing all members of the community to make a positive difference. They have many events every month. Find them at desertbusinessassociation.com.
This is Nicholas Snow Live, connecting the circuitry of humanity. Connect with us at NicholasSnowLive.com. It's not radio, it's Gadio. You've been listening to Nicholas Snow Live. Find all of our advertisers and everything Nicholas Snow at NicholasSnowLive.com. Nicholas uses both Twitter and Facebook to alert listeners just as he's going on the air. Anytime, 24/7, you may direct tweet at TheNicholasSnow or post your questions, comments, breaking news, and gossip on the Nicholas Snow Live Facebook page. Nicholas may very well discuss your tweet or comment on the air. When communicating with or about the show using any form of social media, be sure to use the hashtag NicholasSnowLive. You may also Skype into live broadcast from anywhere in the world. For Skype instructions and to review all the Connect with Show options I've just mentioned, simply visit NicholasSnowLive.com and click Connect with the Show in the main submenu. Nicholas also broadcasts regular video chats and interviews on his YouTube channel using Google Hangouts, so subscribe at youtube.com/snowbiznow. That's youtube.com/snowbiznow. For all of his social media links, visit NicholasSnowLive.com and click on Social Networks in the main submenu. This show is produced and copyrighted by Nicholas Snow Productions, LLC. All rights reserved. Thank you for being a part of the snowstorm. We are honored by your presence.